Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well. And so far in this series, the Yankees are doing well. 2-0 up in the first two games against Toronto. Now, it was stressful. Another ninth inning where you're kind of at the edge of your seat, or you know, some of you probably looking away from the TV screen. I don't blame you. It got dicey towards the end, but credit where it's due. Duvall did get the job done. We won the game, which is nice. And kind of the same exact recipe as the previous game. Monday, you know, we had the game-tying homer, then a go-ahead. Same deal Tuesday night. And here's how it sounded.
High fly ball, left field and deep. Piñango back, trap, wall, see ya! A tie game! A three-run home run for McMahon. Breaks an 0-for-24 slump and evens it up at three.
The 2-0.
High fly ball, right field. Sanchez back. On the track, at the wall, see ya! A home run from Ben Rice, a two-run shot. Ground ball, Volpe, fields, fires, and the Yankees hold on and win 5-4. Duvall picks up the save.
Ben, this team trailed by three early against one of the best pitchers in the American League in Dylan Cease. How much life did Ryan McMahon's three-run shot inject into this team?
So much. It was such a good swing by him. I mean, just shows how much juice he has to going the other way here isn't easy. And off of a really good pitcher, like you said. So that was awesome.
Yeah, and shout out to McMahon, dude. Listen, he was hitting the ball well for a bit, and we were getting excited over it. And then he kind of came back down to earth, and you get into that mode where it's like, all right, got off to a bad start. And then he starts hitting. What do we got here? And then you come back down. It's kind of similar to when, you know, a guy's doing well, comes back down to earth struggling, and then starts hitting again. It's like, all right, this is the real, in this case, Ryan McMahon. Well, he continues to just come through in big spots. You know, he had the game-tying homer way back against Kansas City late. That's when he was really scuffling. The at-bats still don't look as bad as they did early on, but nonetheless, you go down 3-0 against Dylan Cease, which last night was another example of the Yankees, you know, going down early, similar to the game against DeGrom when Will Warren had his clunker. And, you know, you're not giving up on the game, at least you shouldn't, but it's like, all right, this probably ain't going to be easy. And Dylan Cease is one of the few things that have gone well for the Blue Jays this year. Obviously, he signed up to that big deal. And he entered yesterday with a 2-4. Yanks are down 3-0. And then McMahon comes through opposite field, three-run game-tying shot. It's like, all right, let's go. We got life. Obviously, it's a new ball game. So shout out to McMahon. He continues to just, you know, always when you're talking about taking him out of the lineup and, you know, you start to rile up the criticism against him, and rightfully so, he's been bad. He comes through with a moment like yesterday, ties the game up, opposite field, three-run shot. So all tied up at three there. And then just like on Monday night where you had the game tire, and then later on, go ahead. In this case, it was Ben Rice, 16th home run of the year, second home run in his last three games. And listen, I mean, whether it be a Yankee Stadium thing, not Yankee Stadium itself, but just the Yankees at home. And this gets to a point that we're going to touch on about the Yankees' success at home so far this season, which is often the case. Teams are usually always worse on the road. But, well, let's just say this right now. It is imperative the Yankees have the one seed in the American League. I can't fully, to be honest with you guys, I can't fully like get behind the idea that the Rays are truly going to be a division threat come season's end. I think there'll be like a line of demarcation date where it's like, all right, if they're still at this point by this date, I will take them fully seriously. I am taking them seriously, don't get me wrong. I'm curious, of course, how the series will go this weekend against them. But the Yankees are 16-6 at home now after that win last night. On the road, they're just one game over 500 at 14-13. And no matter what, it's an advantage to be, you know, home. But I'm not just talking through the American League. I know it's imperative the Yankees get the best record, and not just the AL, but in all of baseball. And the way that they can do that is because the league that we play in is so thin, and right now, at least, so weak. And if you can get fat against this AL, doesn't mean if you have a better record, you'll be, you know, officially better than the Dodgers, but you have a chance, given your competition, to stack a lot of wins this year. And the Yankees should win the AL East. They should win the American League. And, yeah, they can stack enough wins to have possibly the best record in baseball. That would possibly be the biggest difference, the biggest separator between all years, or all things that we've talked about with this team compared to years previous. You want to have home field advantage against the AL and against the Dodgers, whoever it may be, come the World Series if we get there. And, you know, it's something to keep in mind with the, you know, the Boone era. We've never lost a series in the postseason that we weren't favored in. We've never lost a series to a lower seed in the Boone era. Like, last year, the Blue Jays were the higher seed than us. We lost. Not that it's an excuse, but just pointing out the fact. 2024, of course, we were the lower seed. First time in that postseason in the, against the World Series, the Dodgers, and we lost. We have a chance this year to have home field advantage throughout the entire postseason. And the Yankees are playing exceptional baseball at home this year. Now, obviously, you want to play better on the road. And guys are, whether it be individually with, like, you know, like Bellinger or other cases as well, there's some stark differences between the Yankees production at home and when they're away. And overall, that leads to that record difference of 16-6 at the stadium compared to 14-13 on the road. And you just feel way better about it. I mean, not that it's impossible that when they're down 3-0 early, they won't come back on the road. But, you know, you didn't feel good being down 3-0 against Cease yesterday. But it was just a very much like a, let's see what happens here. Let's see what the Yankees can do. Because we saw it against DeGrom when Warren had his clunker and they ended up coming back. And what I really want to get into here is some reactions from Blue Jays fans, which are quite fascinating, let me tell you. Because I was browsing social media last night, and we'll get into this. It's funny the way Blue Jays fans are talking about this Yankee team. And it more so goes to show how baseball fans are dramatic, us included. This guy tweets out, Damon, he's somebody on Blue Jays Twitter. He goes, why is the Yankee offense so elite? They don't swing at balls. They chase less than any team in baseball. They're at the top of the league in walks and home runs, the most efficient way to score runs. Now, we got a bunch more to say, but I want to, or to go through, but I want to mention this. Home runs are important. The Yankees, if they don't hit home runs, will not win. That also goes with everything else, though. Defense, fundamentals, not making silly mistakes in the base paths, pitching, obviously, which is a big thing this year for us, and especially come the postseason. But also manufacturing runs, hitting with runners in scoring position, all those things are important, just like home runs are. You can't not hit home runs, especially us, and the team that has aspirations of winning the World Series has to hit home runs. We've seen that time and time again. But with that said, Blue Jays fans a lot are coming from the angle of, we'll see more tweets here, we'll keep going through them, but it's like, they're actually comparing us to them last year where we work good at bats, we work counts, we make the pitcher, you know, have to battle, and then we have the ability to do ultimate damage with the long ball. And Blue Jays fans are being dramatic, very dramatic, but it just kind of puts it in a different perspective of maybe the way that we look at things or how dramatic we can be when our team loses. Like, I think the Jays fans here are going kind of crazy. But anyways, this guy, Ian, replies to that initial tweet saying, this series is so painful to watch. Yankees take pitches, make your good arms work, demolish baseballs when they are scoring. Jays do effing none of that. We try to win every game with death by 1,000 cuts while using a butter knife. Here's another one. You're telling me they adjusted their approach after an embarrassing playoff exit despite the core being mostly the same? Who could have seen that coming? Which I don't even fully understand what that means, to be honest. Like, I don't think, well, approach, sure, but I think it's more so the Yankees coming into the series like maybe a little more motivated because of what happened last year. But obviously, in the end, offensively at least, it's still pretty much the same unit. Philosophy has maintained, for the most part, pretty similar to last year where it's, you know, the Yankees always did war counts. And, you know, not that we were great offensively against Toronto last year by any means, but I just still wonder, you know, not ever picking on him, but we always talk about, like, what if Max Fried didn't throw a clunker in game two in Toronto? Which, another thing, if the Yankees had home field advantage last year, that would have been Yankee Stadium. Maybe it goes differently. It's so, so important that we had the best record in the AL and hopefully all of baseball. We'll see. But anyways, there's so much more. Look at these tweets. Somebody responds also saying, Yankees are the real true outcome team. F a hit if it ain't deep offense. And by deep offense, he means the ability to hit home runs. Another one, more power, but similar to the Jays profile last year. Again, these are all Jays fans who are tweaking about the difference between this Yankees team and the Blue Jays, which I think they're being dramatic. There's another tweet coming up where somebody's like, they're in a different class. I don't think that's true. The Blue Jays, I still worry about them more than I do the Rays long term. I absolutely do. And I think they'll be a playoff team. I do. I think they'll finish 500. But it's interesting from many different perspectives. One, it gives us a new perspective on perhaps, not that we're too hard on this team, but like, maybe we think too much of the competition that we're facing. Like, again, guys, it's not the 1998 Yankees that we're going up against. They're perfect. This team isn't perfect. The 98 Yankees were perfect. We don't have to be perfect, though, to win the East, to win the AL, to win the World Series. And if you were to just go off these tweets, you'd think we almost are near perfect. From Toronto Blue Jays fans, here's another one. This is a quote tweet from the initial tweet from this guy, Damon. He goes, another walk, another home run, rinse, repeat. The Yankees are in a different class than the Blue Jays right now. These two teams aren't close right now. Which, again, I think that's being dramatic. Obviously, Blue Jays are in a tough spot. But these are all things that a lot of times, you know, not me, but like some people will say about when we face a team that's bad, but they happen to put a few balls in play. And it's like, see, they do it right. They have good balance. Well, look at how other teams are talking about us. Look how the Toronto Blue Jays fans, our most, in my opinion, hated rival as of this moment, actively at least. Look how they're talking. Last one, somebody quote tweets saying, bingo. And pitchers like Cease become very exposed for teams like this. It's a playoff team. They're referring to us as a team that exposes pitchers like Dylan Cease, which is the total opposite of the narrative that many Yankee fans have, and fair in past years, I guess, but you know, we saw it earlier with whether it be opening day against Logan Webb, one of the best pitchers in baseball, or when we were down against DeGrom and we ended up scoring six earned runs off him last night with Cease. The Yankees are capable of hitting good pitching, but even when they don't, it's a difference this year because the postseason rotation should be incredible. And we'll get to Gerrit Cole. But there's many differences between this year's team and last year's, which we've gone over a million times. And one of them also, too, is something that's actually out of our control, which is that the Toronto Blue Jays can and seemingly have regressed. Now, I don't think it's going to be forever, but it just shows how quickly things can change. It shows how sometimes I think people get a little too crazy, both, I'm sure, optimistically like me. Like I get out of line. I think people get a little too pessimistic a lot. Blue Jays fans, I think, are not being too pet because their team's been asked for now. I get all that, but just these statements, like they're pissed, but now they're saying the Blue Jays aren't in the same class as the Yankees. Like, I would tell them to chill a little bit. But it's interesting, man, just to read those things. And whether or not I think they're dramatic or not, it does beg the question of, like, do the Yankees finally have the edge over the Toronto Blue Jays? And, you know, with that, I think the answer is certainly yes. I think the Yankees are better than Toronto. Although, going off these two games, I don't think it's been, like, a clear, oh, we're way better than them. Granted, you know, we're dealing with some injuries right now, too, obviously. You know, we're a different team without Giancarlo Stanton. Volpe's been good, and we'll talk about Volpe in a minute. Caballero was a big part of why I love this team so much. He says he's back on Friday. We'll touch on that, too. But yeah, I mean, it's a four-game set since these first two games, but just think, had the Yankees lost these two games, what would the story have been? It would have been, oh, there you go. Yanks can't beat good teams. But now that they did win those two games, it's, you know, they technically just get added to the tally of the Yankees beating up on teams under 500. But going into the series, I don't know about you, Chat, but I have a good guess. It was similar to how I felt. I don't care what the Blue Jays record is. I was nervous going into this series. I was. And I'm taking them seriously every single game, no matter what their record is. And if the Yankees had lost these games, I'd be like, oh, there you go. Same old Yankees lost against a good team. Well, they beat them. And now it just goes to, the, oh, they're beating up on under. Not that we're saying that narrative, but in terms of like the actual stat of like record against teams under 500, it now has gone up. But this is a two games, which the series continues, not over, but two games against our most active, at least hated rival. The team that I still, and at the very least going into the year, consider to be our biggest competition in the AL, no doubt. And while stressful, while not perfect, the Yankees have won these two games, and they've been good games. Whether it be last night against Cease, or just the idea of in both being down, not getting good starting pitching for the most part. I mean, Warren yesterday, actually, that's a compliment to him. He wasn't good, but he still gave the Yankees five innings, three runs, kept it there. Yanks were down three, tied up at three, then go ahead, 5-3, ended up winning by one run. Same deal on Monday where, you know, Weathers, not even going to blame him. He technically didn't have a good outing, but that Ernie Clement homer was crazy. But, like, we're down, and we end up tying it up, and then we take the lead via the home run. So, I mean, it goes to show many things that this team is better than last year's Yankee team, I think. Not because of these two games, but that's something we've already thought, so this just furthers that notion in my head, in my opinion. And that no 2 years are the same. The Blue Jays can regress. We can get better. That the Yankees are capable of hitting good pitching. And I guess ultimately things can change. And baseball fans are very dramatic. I think Blue Jays fans, with their actual takes here, are being very dramatic. But it's just interesting to see all those tweets. It's like, man, a lot of those are things that like you would hear people say about the Yankees and how the Yankees are flawed compared to other teams. Again, like it ain't the 98 Yankees that we got to compete against, yo. If it were, we'd be in trouble, Chad. I'd hear you out on that. But fortunately, no. Like, this is our competition. This is our competition. And we just beat them. First two games. We got two games left. Tonight's going to be box office. I can't wait. We'll preview that. So by no means is this series over. The season, like the Blue Jays could turn around, and I expect that they will. I think that they will at some point. But these were a very two very refreshing games for the Yankees to win. And again, it's just another reminder, like, compared to their competition, the Yankees are good. Like, what does good mean? It all has to be relative, in my opinion. Like, one of the greatest teams of all time? No. They don't have to be, though. They don't have to be. They can still win the World Series while not being the 98 Yankees, but compared to the rest of the teams in the league, they might as well be, at least for right now. I mean, obviously, teams like the Mariners are still under 500. It's crazy. And it's nuts, man. Even like the Orioles, like I'm looking at them lose another game last night, and it's just crazy how fast things can change. We felt this too with, you know, 2017, we're on the come up, and then 2021 kind of felt like for a minute rock bottom. It's like, how do we get here so fast? Where it was like we're on the come up, and then before you know it, we won 92 games that year. And I guess 2023 was the worst year, but 2021 was, to me, the most torturous full regular season I've ever endured. 2023, it was like, you lost Judge, so it's like a different way, a different thought process for me. But nonetheless, it can change so quickly. And the Orioles just a couple years ago were battling us in the division, winning 95 to 100 games with this up-and-coming core. And then now it looks like they're headed for a rebuild. Toronto last year, while I'm by no means counting them out, obviously game seven of the World Series, two outs away from winning the whole thing. And now look where they're at now, calling this Yankee team, which they were, you know, trolling and roasting last year, and they had the right to do so. They owned us. Just, what, 6 or 7 months later, it's a totally different tune. Baseball can change. Teams can get better. Teams can get worse. And at least through two games right here, again, I don't think it's like certified that the Yankees, I do think they are better than the Blue Jays, but not because of these two games. I mean, they've been very close games. But two big wins for the Yankees, man. Two really big wins. And again, my main point here is the Yankees continue to succeed at home, and they have to get the best record in the American League. And the best record in baseball, they can do that because they can beat up on some of these. I'm not going to refer to the Blue Jays as these bad teams, but we know how weak and thin the American League is. Just because we, you know, win 100 games, whatever, doesn't mean we'd be better than the Dodgers per se, but we have a better chance, given our competition, to stack up these W's come season's end. If we can have, and I hope we do, man, I really hope we do, especially in the AL. But again, Yanks have never lost a series that they weren't, they never lost a series to a lower seed. The Yankees can be the number one seed in baseball this year, and that could be the biggest difference, among many other differences, between our chances this year and previous years. So, anyways, nonetheless, a really fun two games against Toronto so far. We'll preview game three at the end of the show. We still got to talk Cole. We got to talk Caballero. We'll get to that in a second, too. But yeah, no, I mean, pretty nuts. Pretty nuts to see what the Blue Jays fans were saying is what I mean. It's pretty crazy, and it just shows to show you, like, you know, baseball fans can be very dramatic, for better or for worse. And I'm not going to lie, it's pleasing seeing them say all those things. And you probably wouldn't think it, given the way like Yankee fans talk about this team, which is how it goes, I understand. Like, you know, you watch your team more than anybody. Like, you were going to criticize our own team more than any other fan base would, obviously. And that goes for everybody. But it kind of brings it home a little bit. Puts it into perspective, maybe. Also, some other notes real quick from yesterday's game. So, Duvall did end up doing the job in the ninth. When we were live in the watch party, we'll be live again tonight, by the way, of course, 7 o'clock. I was actually looking forward a little bit to Duvall coming in. Now, we knew Bednar wasn't going to be available. He was, well, TBD, but that pretty much means he's not available. He had thrown 80-something pitches over three games. And nothing to do with his closer role. Bednar is still the closer, as he should be. Like, until there's another option in here, which hopefully at some point there will be, or at least just more arms to be able to go to. But for right now, Bednar is a closer. He wasn't available yesterday. So you go to Camilo Duvall. And part of me was thinking, like, 2012 Rafael Soriano, where, you know, we signed Soriano. This is my first year watching, you guys know, 2011. And, of course, you have most. Soriano was a really good closer with Tampa Bay prior to that. Yankees signed him to a two-year deal, but to be the setup man for Mo. And he just did not have it. He was bad pretty much all year long. It was, like, the first addition for me of a reliever coming in that you held your breath over. It's like, oh, I just can picture it now. Like, 10 or 11-year-old me saying to my dad, like, are they bringing in Soriano? Damn. Like, it wasn't good. But 2012, obviously, Mo goes down with the injury. And you put Soriano back in the closer role. And, you know, whether it just be muscle memory or comfort or the adrenaline comes with the ninth, we've seen it time and time again where you put a closer back in the ninth inning and all of a sudden he finds his stuff again. He finds his ability to have success. That was my mindset kind of going with Duvall yesterday, the ninth. And I know he's had struggles, by the way, too. He literally lost his closer job in San Fran, but he also was a really good closer in San Fran. I was looking forward, actually, in a way, like, for more so like a curiosity slash still being nervous about Duvall coming in yesterday. And to be honest with you, and Bednar's still the closer. I actually did notice a difference with Duvall yesterday. Call me crazy. Let me know if you guys agree. But particularly once Springer got up and you got to the top of the order, it actually more so felt like Duvall was just leaving it all out there, which could very well be a difference between pitching the ninth versus the eighth. And it seemed like he had an extra, he's always throwing hard, but like he had extra little juice to his fastball. Duvall wasn't good yesterday. I'm not saying that. Some hits were, you know, not great luck either. But in the end, I'll always compliment a closer, even though they make it stressful. Same with Bednar on Monday. Like, that did show some balls last night. Duvall ultimately did do his job. Like, what was the worst case scenario out of last night? Duvall blows it. I understand it was stressful. He still did get the job done. I'm not, like, celebrating him individually, like, going forward as a way to be like, Duvall should get the ninth, or Duvall's cured now. Not by any means. If anything, you come out of yesterday more concerned about Duvall. Fair enough. But in the end, I will celebrate the fact that he helped us get a win yesterday. He did ultimately bear down, getting Vlad. Actually, did he get Springer? I don't even remember if he got Springer or not. But either way, shout out to Duvall. He ended up getting the job done. So, word up there. Some other things. Judge and Rice now are the second Yankee duo in history to have 16 homers before the team's 50th game. First since Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle did it in 1956. One, I bring this up because it's cool. Two, just to acknowledge, not in any point of concern whatsoever, and I hope nobody else is either, but Judge obviously is going through a little bit of a funk right now. And, you know, that does, obviously, your best players aren't hitting. That hurts the team a little bit. Not saying that in a nasty way or any way just to, besides mentioning it, that Judge over his last, last seven games, 624 OPS. Hasn't had a home run since the series finale in Milwaukee. So we're going over a week now where Judge has been sitting at 16 homers. And whether it be just the team as a whole when we're not hitting homers, in general, baseball, less chance you're going to win games. But, you know, during this slide, and part of this is because the Yankees haven't been good on the road. Again, they're, what was the number? At home, they're 16-6. On the road, they're 14-13. They've been a much better team offensively at home versus the road. And, you know, a lot of these losses over the last week came on the road, and you didn't have Judge hitting for power. And, yeah, over his last seven games, Judge has a 624 OPS. So he really hasn't been much. That's okay, not getting on Judge, but just acknowledging a difference within the last week is Judge hasn't really been hitting. So even just take these two games against Toronto where, you know, add a couple wins to the one-run game tally, which the Yankees have been really bad in one-run games this year, many of them on the road too. But, you know, I really like these two wins against Toronto. It showed some grit and it showed some fight, which is awesome. But it's also been without, not without Judge. His presence automatically makes a difference. And, you know, he is still, like, getting his walks to a degree. Like, he's always, Judge is still, the presence of Judge can win you games alone, whether it be his bat in the lineup, getting on base just via walk, and then he ends up scoring, or just the mere threat of his arm in right field can prevent a run. Like, Judge's existence makes the world a better place. But he hasn't been hitting. And I say that, here's the difference between, like, me and, you know, somebody else. Like, you can spin that pessimistically. For me, it's optimistically, we just won two games without Judge. We just had one of our worst stretches of the season, and guess what? Judge wasn't hitting. Now, that could be a concern. Some people would say, well, if you don't have Judge in the postseason, what happens? Fair enough. Because we've seen that in past years. When Judge isn't going, the Yankees often won't go. But if we're to believe in this pitching staff, which I certainly do, and I'm talking about the rotation, we are better suited to be able to win games that we don't score a lot of runs in. Now, ideally, in the playoffs, we do have Judge, like he was last year. He was great. And the rest of the, you know, contributing crew can do something as well, and we score runs and whatever. But there could be games in the postseason where, like in years past, we only score a few runs and the offense struggles. But while we only score a few runs, the opposing only scored two because Cam Schlittler just threw seven shut. And maybe a little bit of BS from the bullpen. No, but like a big difference between this year's team and last is what we think at least the rotation will be come October, which means even if that is still an issue or the Yankees go when Judge goes, which I hear you guys on that. I understand. We're still better suited to win games than we were in previous years while that was still an issue. And the last couple of games are the case. Not that even we've had great starting pitching. Actually, it's, I know, I'm a shill. I'm a shill, okay? I am. But you guys did say, somebody commented the other day that I've been pretty good this year about keeping it home with, you know, I will criticize the team. I had a crash out on Sunday when we lost a game against the Mets. That was unacceptable. But I obviously lean optimistic. Something else I think about is, you know, Ryan Weathers in on Monday, the series opener, I'm not even going to say he pitched bad whatsoever. He got screwed by that Ernie Clement home run. That was like some 2019 juice ball shit. I don't know how that ball got out of there, but it did. And in the end, he gives up, I think he ended up giving up five earned runs on the day. Yanks end up coming back to win. Same recipe as last night. You had the game-tying two-run shot by Bellinger, then go ahead by Jazz off the pole. And then yesterday, Warren wasn't bad. And this is actually going to be a compliment to Warren, too. I mean, he wasn't good. He wasn't good. But for not being good, he still gave you five innings, three earned runs. You got the win. He's 6-1 now. So he bared down. And that's something I can appreciate. But even nonetheless, it's like we just won two games against our division rival. And to be honest, like right now, outside of Houston, because Houston, you know, different caveat, cheating shit aside, excuse my language, Jesus, my goodness. Cheating aside, the Blue Jays are my number one, like I think, all-time rival. Even over Boston. By default, Boston obviously is one, but that's more so, you know, coming up. You know, I still had, you know, Big Poppy, Jeter, A-Rod all around, Kevin Youkilis at the time, 2011. Like, I grew up with the idea, which is true, obviously, Yankees, Red Sox, and that's still more of like a history, right? You guys know how that works. But for my true, like, from a hatred perspective, Blue Jays are my number one. And they're our biggest rival right now, especially going to this year, biggest competition. And the Yankees, while having a rotation that's really good, didn't get great starting pitching these first two games, but they won both these games because they found a way to win, and they did so against, particularly last night, a really good pitcher in Dylan Cease. So I loved that win last night. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Bullpen remains a concern, obviously, but hey, We'll talk about that when they blow games, which we know they will. We know they have. And even when they're really good, you know, they'll, you know, good bullpens blow games too. But great win last night. Great win last night. And we'll have game three tonight against the Blue Jays. We'll preview that in just a little bit. Quick sip of water. All right, let's move on to this. We'll touch on Cole after this one. But yeah, Jose Caballero said last night that he will be back on Friday against Tampa Bay. Of course, that's when he's eligible to return from the injured list. And with that, you will have likely, I assume, Schumann going down. The question isn't so much, you know, it says, what should the Yankees do with Anthony Volpe? I think Volpe absolutely will be staying up. And another, I think, good game from Volpe last night. First things first, the defense, there were no issues. Two, Volpe, again, is looking level with the swing. He had a hard line out yesterday. He had a couple of, well, there was one little dunker that I thought was going to be a hit at first. But in the end, he had a single up the middle. He went 1-for-4. Defense was fine. But also in his last at-bat, smoked a ball. Unfortunately, went to Dalton Varsho. I'm not going to overanalyze another one game from Volpe, especially when he just went 1-for-4. But you guys can acknowledge, like, we all can acknowledge, he's looked decent in these five games. He's hit 312 in these five games. And the defense has been fine, besides the one error in his first game. What do the Yankees do when Volpe returns? I don't think they'll send him down. I think it'll be Max Schumann that goes down. Now, barring Volpe looking like crap in the next two games, maybe that could change, because Schumann, I've actually liked the way he's looked. His at-bats have been good. The question here is more so, would the Yankees possibly keep Volpe at short and play Caballero at third base sometimes? Or more so, my whole thing is, I want, as of right now, I'm just going to be honest with you, I want Volpe and Caballero both in the lineup. If he was back today, I would want both of them in there. The way to do that is knowing Volpe hasn't, you know, and this is the Yankees' fault, too. They haven't tried him out at any other positions, third or second base, which he's probably better suited for second because of the arm, I hear you. I think if, you know, you're going to talk about this, the obvious solution is keep Volpe at short, put Caballero at third, or just use him as, you know, a rover, utility guy. But a utility guy kind of like 2019 DJ LeMahieu, where it's like he's not an official, doesn't have an official starting position, which sounds crazy to say because Caballero was so good for us. Like, he's not coming out of the lineup. That's my main point. Like, Caballero will be in the lineup come Friday, to answer that question. I just wonder if we could see Volpe still get a lot of starts at short, and then you have Caballero play third on the day, play second on the day. I mean, he could technically play the outfield too. Maybe the Yankees use him against, you know, they were sitting Grisham a lot against lefties early in the year when they had Randall Grichuk. Maybe they would play Bellinger in center, Caballero in left today. Maybe that gets a little crazy. But anyways, nonetheless, Caballero indeed says he's back on Friday, and I do not believe Volpe will be sent down. I think it'll be Schumann. So the question is more so about playing time. What's going to happen? And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence, we know how Caballero rolls, that, you know, you see Volpe playing a good few games. Caballero's very competitive. He's like, I will be back on Friday. I will see you Friday. So word up. I'll see you too, bro. I look forward to it. I love Caballero, and I'm not trying to be, you know, weird about shortstop. He's been great at shortstop. He's been the best offensive shortstop in the league. More so, I guess the issue here is, one, Volpe isn't hitting. That's not an issue. So, like, it's, I guess, good that we're even talking about this. And maybe you guys completely disagree. You think, send Volpe down. I don't feel that way. I think Volpe's looked good enough to warrant at least keeping him on the roster. And that gets to the question of, where would he play? Well, there's no second base or third base being touched on with him or tried out with or practiced. So he's a shortstop. If Volpe's playing, he's going to be playing shortstop. So if you want both in the lineup, Caballero's got to play third. Or he's got to play second. And I don't want to take Jazz out right now. And McMahon, I mean, I'm not going to go any full-on takes with him being like, oh, he's back or whatever the heck. Like, you know, I get excited over a couple. If he has another few good games, it's like, all right, maybe McMahon's starting to hit again. Let's see what this turns into. Big homer yesterday. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the plan is here, but all I know is Caballero's back on Friday, and I don't think Volpe will be going down. So you guys let me know in the comment section what you think about all this. But yeah, indeed, he says Friday he is going to return. And speaking of returning, chat, official, broke yesterday around 4:30. Gerrit Cole will be making his season debut Friday night in the Bronx against Tampa Bay. First start, of course, since Game 5 of the 2024 World Series. First start in 569 days, that will be. And obviously, it's been a long time coming. We preface this a lot with Cole to, you know, not like temper expectations, but more so be patient with him early on. I think come October, come the postseason, and for all we know, maybe right away, Cole will be Cole. But, you know, we've seen guys coming back from Tommy John before. And we'll get into that. Here's Boone on expectations, how he feels about Cole's return. This was him yesterday prior to the game.
It's hard to say. I mean, like, you know, he hasn't been in that flow of competition for 17 months. That being said, it is Gerrit Cole. And what we've been watching for the last few months and his build up and his sides and his rehabs, like, he looks great to me. And I, so My expectation is that he's going to be really good. Will there be some bumps along the way, or, you know, navigating getting back into that full level of competition at this level? Sure. But that's part of it too. But at the end of the day, I expect him to come in and pitch well for us.
I completely agree with that assessment. Main thing, first thing, we got a bunch to talk about here, but is to be patient with Cole. We've seen guys come back from Tommy John and be rusty, just like some Yankee instances. You know, Jameson Taillon, remember when we acquired him prior to 2021? That was fresh off of TJ. And remember the first half of 2021, he was quite bad. He just was not good. And it's like, you know, maybe it was my naivety? Whatever. You guys know what I'm saying. I was like, maybe the Taillon trade like wasn't a good idea. Maybe it's not going to work out. But sure enough, as the year went on, come the second half, when he's far removed from Tommy John, he got much better. And then 2022, he was really good. Jordan Montgomery, 2018 to 2019, Tommy John surgery. Comes back for like a cup of coffee at the very end of 19 to like, you know, just get his feet wet. But 2020 was his first like full year back. And while he ended up pitching well come the postseason, and then 2021, he was really good. The regular season during 2020, there was an adjustment period. Jordan Montgomery was rusty coming off of TJ. Luis Severino was actually, you know, pretty good off TJ in 2022 before he got hurt again. He also came back in 2021. That's another thing. Gerrit Cole has not been rushed whatsoever. He threw 86 pitches last time on Saturday in his rehab start. And Boone did say there'll be some restrictions. You probably won't see him throw more than 85 pitches. Maybe even at the big league level, they won't go more than 75. We'll see. But with that said, you know, a lot of guys, there's an adjustment process. We got to be patient with Cole. It's hard not to think about like 2022 Justin Verlander, who won the Cy Young, had an ERA of sub-2 and was just right out the gate fantastic off of Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, he's Gerrit Cole. I'm not going to bet against him, obviously. But nonetheless, I expect come the postseason, he will be Gerrit Cole. And I'm sure well before then. But I think we've made the point by now, and you guys are all well aware. Just be patient with him. Like, don't be, you know, if he has a bad start even on Friday, which is a big game, you know, don't be giving him shit. Like, he's our guy. He's Gerrit Cole. We got to be patient with him. But with that said, I wouldn't be shocked if he's great upon his return too. So, I mean, obviously I'm stoked. You know, 2024, I always like to include stats at the postseason, whether it be like Cam last year or Cole in 2024. You include the playoffs in 22 starts. Last time you saw Cole in 2024, 3.15 ERA with a 10-5 record. In 22 games. And in the postseason, he had an ERA in the low twos. So, I mean, last time we saw Cole, he was good. You could argue he might be even better now because he has a nice, fresh, new elbow. And he hit 99.6 on Saturday, too. To be honest with you, outside of just knowing how pitchers operate coming off of Tommy John, just seeing the way Cole has looked and knowing he's Gerrit Cole and the process that comes with being Gerrit Cole, he's very intelligent. He doesn't joke around with this. Like, he knows what he's doing. Just going off of that, like I kind of wouldn't be shocked if he's great right away. But we shouldn't expect that per se, or at least shouldn't, you know, go in with that being the ultimate expectation for Cole. Be patient with him. But nonetheless, this is awesome. We've missed him. Missed him big time. And he's just, you know, there's Judge, there's Stanton. That's like the two main faces of this era of the Yanks. And I like that. Cole, obviously, though, now is, you know, he's a, what year is this for Cole? 19, 20, 21, 22. This is year 7 for Cole. Is that true? Damn, time flies. But yeah, no, I mean, just from like a sentimental standpoint, it's good to have him back. And Friday against Tampa Bay, it was a no-brainer because Yankees sent down Elmer. And they probably honestly knew this is where they're going to go because it's like, who would pitch on Friday unless you were doing like a Ryan Yarbrough opener. But we know now it's official and that's the way to go. You got Cole ready to go. Pitch count-wise, he's all built up for the most part and he's looking good. You got a damn big game Friday against Tampa Bay. Why not activate him? And that's where the Yankees are at. Instead of one more start rehab-wise, just put that start up in the big leagues, in the Bronx, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Obviously, we'll be live for that game, chat. We'll be live tonight. We'll be live Thursday. We'll be live Friday for the series opener against Tampa. And I'm stoked. I'm obviously stoked. And it's just going to feel good to have him back. And, you know, he's our guy. He's our guy. Good to have him back. We'll preview this more, his actual start come Friday morning show. But actually, programming note, I'm supposed to be on Talking Yanks with Jimmy on Friday. I talked about this yesterday in the watch party, which is going to be very interesting because Jimmy leans kind of negative. I very much lean positive. And also, he's Jimmy, so, you know, when I disagree with him, I got to make sure it comes off the right way because, you know, he's Jimmy. Good news is, though, last time on Talking Yanks, I don't think there was much issue. It was a great episode. I had a great time. I think you guys received it very well. The one criticism, which is totally fair, was I was yapping a lot. I had a lot of things to say, and I was talking over BBD and Joe's, which I should not do, and I won't do that again, I promise. I don't think I've ever talked over Jimmy O'Brien in my life, Chad, so you don't got to worry about that. And I certainly won on Friday. But yeah, that's a plan. Friday is for me to be on the Talking Yanks episode. We may not have a Morning Yankees episode Friday morning, actually, because I think we may be recording that at like 8 a.m. at the warehouse. I'll keep you guys posted on that. But anyways, we're live right now. We'll be live tonight for the watch party, live tomorrow morning, and then live for the watch party tomorrow. But and then Friday for the race. Anyways, that's Friday. We'll preview it more then. But official, Gerrit Cole back. Season debut, first starts in 569 days, Friday nights in the Bronx. All right, speaking of games in the Bronx, Chad, let's wrap up with this. Tonight should be box office. Cam Schlittler versus Trey Yesavage. Trey, he missed, I don't like calling opposing players by their first name. He's not my boy. We're not friends. But he was down for a little bit with an injury. He's come back and he's been great. 1.35 ERA in a few starts. Obviously, Cam, we know, is like the leading Cy Young favorite right now. He's been utterly terrific. Like historic numbers, 6-1 so far, 1.35 ERA. This is just going to be badass. I mean, they didn't face each other last year. Cam pitched in game 4, Trey pitched in game 2. And of course, that game 2, he was absolutely lethal. Struck out the Yankees 11 times in 5 and a third innings pitched. And they were just absolutely no match for him. His splitter was disgusting. And he was just absolutely electric. And that's who he is. He's a great pitcher. He'll go for Toronto tonight. And the fact that he's going up against Cam is just, I mean, marketing-wise, we always talk about, you know, box office-wise. Like, this is just going to be epic. That's really kind of the point here. Cam versus Trey, I'm very excited for. And the Yankees have shown they're better suited to hit good pitching this year compared to last, at least so it seems. And I'm very fascinated and interested to see what they'll do against Trey tonight. It should be a good one. It should be a great one. And the Yankees enter play, obviously, up 2-0 in the series. It's a four-game set, so it'll continue through tomorrow. Let me check, actually, while we're here. Do we have a starting pitcher for tomorrow for Toronto? Let me see. I know Rodon's going for us. All right, tomorrow's still TBD for Toronto, but we have Rodon going. Anyways, prime game tonight. That's kind of like the preview. It's Trey versus Cam. That's all you really need. That's going to be box office, and I'm pumped. So Yanks will look to take a 3-0 series lead and secure the series win. And then we'll go from there. But it's been a good series so far. It's been a stressful series so far. And the Rays keep on winning. They won last night again versus Baltimore. So another day, another game where the Yankees will enter three games back of first place in the AL East. And then after the series, of course, we're playing Tampa on Friday in the Bronx. So, dude, the Yankees are a good team at home, man. Again, going back to what we said before, hopefully the audio caught it. Apologies again. I put my mic down on the floor and I forgot to pick. I don't know how I did that. And I felt going into this stream, I was like, I usually have something here. And then I was holding my stream deck. Like, what am I missing? It was my mic. Hopefully you guys heard what I was saying, but imperative that we win the AL East, but also just the best record in the AL, best record in baseball. That is a possibility come season's end, given the competition that we're facing. Home field advantage is so important in general, but also in general for the Yankees, in general for any team. But like this year, too, I mean, like we're great at home, not great on the road, and that should serve us. You know, we're facing Trey tonight in Yankee Stadium. We're going to be facing the Rays this time in Yankee Stadium, not Tampa Bay. So. You know, so far, so good in this series. Hopefully that continues tonight and then continues throughout the homestand. But this has been a really good two games. Been fun, been stressful, but been exciting. And tonight should be exciting as well. Chat, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Click like on the stream if you do not mind. Of course, we're also available on a podcast and all that. And I think that's all I got. We'll be live again, tonight for the watch party. It's a prime game, 7:05 first pitch. We'll be live for the watch party right around 7. But yeah, that's all I got, chat. Have a cool, great Wednesday. And until then, see you later. Let's go, Yanks.